For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the second Saturday of the month, and Arkansas State University's Chancellor Dr. Kelly Danfus joins us for the monthly conversation during A-State Connections. And here he talks about strategic planning and other things that are taking place. But first, he tells about this special recognition for April. April, this is something I know that you take very, very seriously, the safety of our students on campus. And so this is a month that's called Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And for parents who have students that are here, obviously the students are something that they're your number one priority, obviously. Tell us about what the university does to be able to, you know, kind of help in education of students during this month and year-round as well, you know, to try and make sure that they stay safe while they're here on campus.
It is very important. Safety of everybody here is important to me, faculty, staff, and students. And the students in particular are very vulnerable because of their age and because of maybe their naivete or immaturity at some point where they might – they are just very vulnerable for lots of different reasons. And so I take a lot of ownership of that responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility in every sense of that word, awesome. And so when I got here, everybody here believed like I did that this was an important issue. But I think it's scary to talk about these issues. No one likes to talk about sexual assault or sexual assault on your campus. But I believe it's very important to be open about these things, as open as possible, so that you can be instructive through this. And so having students be aware of the possible danger of sexual assault on campus, which, by the way, is not isolated to Arkansas State. Sure. It's a national issue that we have to pay attention to. The other thing that we think is very important is the role that we all play to keep each other safe. And so we believe it's important for our students and faculty and staff to know their responsibilities for keeping each other safe. And so we do this thing called the PAC Pact. And the idea between the PAC Pact is to encourage people when they see something or some danger, some threat, to say something about it. And you see this say something saying that's out there. But it's very important on our campus because our students are the ones who are much more likely to be around in a situation where something potentially bad is about to happen, mm-hmm. for them to feel empowered to say something. And there is, in our culture, in many cultures, a reticence about stepping in. Like, I want to mind my own business, and I don't want to get in other people's affairs. But that reticence can be harmful if people aren't stepping in when they see something, until later saying, I knew this was going to be a problem. I wish I'd said something or done something. We're trying to empower people now to think about this now while things are calm and clear,
sure,
and be ready to step in. And so what we're trying to overcome is a problem called the bystander effect, where people feel like, as a bystander, I can't weigh in to help somebody. But we're trying to get them to think you can weigh in. In fact, not only can you weigh in, you should, or you must weigh in to protect each other. And so we use the idea of us being part of a pack, the red wolves being in a pack, and the strength of the pack being the wolf, and the strength of the wolf being the pack. We play off of that theme a little bit about looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. And this is a year-long effort, but we highlight it during the month of April, and we pay a lot of attention talking about these issues. So we have several events throughout the month where we highlight sexual assault prevention activities, and also awareness, and also bystander responsibility.
Yeah, and one thing also that you had, there's signage all over campus to talk about the support group, you know, and that, and making sure that people know that no matter if it's sexual assault or depression or other issues, that because students face a lot of issues, and sometimes faculty and staff do as well, you know, you're not alone. Please reach out. And I think that's an important part of that.
Yeah, I passed several signs on the way here today, and some of the kiosks, we got a sign up there talking about how, you know, what we're trying to get is that a lot of people, when they face problems, we're talking about sexual assault right now, but there's also depression and yeah. anxiety and suicidal thoughts and so on. A lot of times people feel like they're the only ones who feel this way. And we want people to know that they're not. It's normal to feel not normal sometimes. It's yeah. okay to not be okay. And then second, that there are resources available. Sometimes students and faculty and staff don't know where to turn. And we actually have a lot of resources available for folks. And the students who tend to be relatively connected know to go talk to this person or that person. They've got someone to talk to, but there are some students who don't feel as connected. And so we've created last year a web, an email address called pacsupport@astate.edu. And it's a one-stop shopping place. If no matter what your question is, no question too big, no question too small, write to pacsupport@astate.edu, and someone is answering that 24 hours a day. And if it's like, I don't know where to park, we can direct you to parking services. If it's where do I buy my books, direct you to the bookstore. If it's I'm feeling depressed and I'm thinking about some terrible issues that are going on in my life, we've got a counseling center we can attach you to. If I'm failing all my classes and I don't know how I'm going to survive this semester, we've got a tutoring center we can direct you to. And so even though we are really super connected because of social media and access to information online, we're wrong if we think that everyone understands how everything works.
Right.
And so we're trying to make that as simple as possible.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is with it being April, I know we've got a lot of things going on with, as you said, strategic planning is really starting. We've got convocation of scholars we're kind of in the middle of and all of that. Let's talk about what April really kind of means to you, because it seems like you're getting close to graduation and the end of things, but really in some regard, especially with strategic planning, it's really the beginning of some new things.
Yeah, what's really interesting, April, like following spring break through graduation, is always the busiest time on any campus. And so we're busy with, trying to put the academic year to bed. But we are, as you say, about to start a lot of things. And so, and we have a lot of things going on as well. So we have the Create a State. We have the Convocation of Scholars, which is unique to this university, to have the kind of celebrations that we have, that each college and several departments have to celebrate kind of the things we've done. But the strategic planning exercise is a big deal. Hiring a new provost is a big deal. So, getting those things kind of started. And those things will have an impact far beyond this month and far beyond even the coming year. Will lead into efforts for fundraising and for academic change in the colleges and departments. So it's really an exciting time of year to see all this kind of come together.
Yeah, and so tell us about, we had ended last month's interview kind of talking a little bit about the strategic planning. Since then, you've had a chance to kind of release the team members and that and kind of give a little bit more information as to where we're at. So kind of talk a little bit about that and how you see this process kind of moving forward.
Well, it's interesting. There's lots of ways of doing a strategic plan, and one way to do it is do it completely in-house. And so you have a lot of listening sessions, and if you're not careful, if you're not used to doing strategic plans, as most of us are not, you end up creating a wish list that's not very reasonable or even doable, and where everybody says, here's the three things we ought to do, and then you end up having 87 things that you end up wanting to do, and if you're not careful, you don't have the resources to do all of them. So we partnered with a consulting firm who does strategic planning. We brought them in. We're using some private money to pay for their assistance, and they met with our strategic planning steering committee and really helped us understand the goal of this will be to create a shared sense of what our values are, the things that we want to do as a university, and then to create an opportunity for the entire campus and our constituencies to have a voice into helping us decide what we're going to be on a broader scale than just we need to create this degree program or that degree program or shut this program down over here, but a broader sense of what we should be doing as a university. This also aligns with the change we talked about last time I was here about the fact that we are now an R2 institution. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to us? And if we want to think of ourselves as a research university, as I do, how do we change how the faculty's workload is structured? Because right now our faculty workload tends to be structured with a heavy emphasis on teaching and less so on research. This strategic planning exercise will help us walk through that process as well. So it's an exciting time for all of us to be thinking about how we do things differently at Arkansas State.
Is part of that also trying to find out how to tell the story of Arkansas State? Maybe not just the past, but also the future story.
Actually, this is a lot, and that's really big part of my job is trying to tell the story of Arkansas State. I think that most folks, and we've talked about this in the past, don't understand what it means to be a research university or what is the life of a faculty member like, especially at a research university or faculty who are research-intensive faculty. What does their day-to-day process look like, and how does having research faculty impact in a different way the kind of students you can attract here and the student experience here? And so it is about telling the story, and you'll see a lot more after we get the strategic plan done. There'll be, of course, a video and a report describing who we are and what we're going to become, but then there'll be a series of stories explaining about our values and our objectives and the things we're trying to do and our accomplishments as well. And really a large part of this, there's two parts of this strategic plan. One will be about creating themes. What are five or six big themes that we want to describe who we are and also to accomplish? The second part of it is, this is an exercise that will bring us all together. I really believe that the faculty, staff, students, alumni, community members all have a voice to play, and this is their university. It's our university. And that this effort will, if it's done right, and I intend to do everything I can to do it right, is that we will all come together through this whole process. And so that's a storytelling to be done as well, to describe to our entire A-State family who we are, what we're about, what our mission is, and then get us all on the same page. We'll all be doing the same thing. This is going to be much more of an active document and a living document that we will rely on for decision making. And so when we go into a fundraising capital campaign, we will have a plan behind this. If you are going to give money to Arkansas State University, you can see how this fits into the plan. If you're the dean of a college and you're thinking about what new majors to add or what other emphases you can provide to the students, that you will be able to look at the plan and see where it fits in there. So the plan that we will create will drive our future behavior. And by the way, a good plan also tells you what to say no to, because we get lots of opportunities. People come to us with ideas all the time. And a good strategic plan allows you to say, great idea, not here because this isn't our plan, or maybe we can find a way to work this into a future plan, but not right now. We are in a, higher education is changing across the country. There's significant threats, especially related to funding and enrollment pressures, that we have to plan for those and create strategies to help us deal with those pressures and the anxiety and the difficulties in front of us. And a plan that comes in that doesn't align with our values and our objectives, the answer may have to be no to those, or at least not yet to some of those. So that's what a useful plan does for us.
Dr. Kelly Danfus joins us here on A-State Connections on KASU. And I think one thing that also, as you kind of look forward, obviously people kind of help make this. And one position you've been looking forward is the provost position. Next week, we're going to be featuring Dr. Leonita Cooksey, who has been, of course, as you know, the provost, and really kind of been your helper as you've kind of been going in through this process. Kind of your thoughts. I know we've had a couple of candidates that have been coming in. Kind of your thoughts on how that process is going and what you would like to see in the next provost at Arkansas State University.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it really, I've been telling people this is the most important hire we'll make for the next few years. And I include myself in that. I don't underplay the important role that a chancellor plays, but we are an academic institution, and the chief executive officer over academics is incredibly important. This person has to gain the trust of the faculty and to lead on faculty issues. As I said earlier, we've got a lot of challenges that we're facing, and so we need someone who can come in here and provide some insight on what's happening nationally and to motivate our faculty and to make sure that we are doing things that will advance the mission of Arkansas State. And the mission of Arkansas State has traditionally been providing a higher education experience for people who live in Northeast Arkansas and the surrounding region. We're a regional university. But we also have this growing research interest as well. Mm-hmm. And so the provost will have to lead in that area as well. So the candidates who we brought in here, we think all of them provided some potential for growing in those areas, for a better understanding perhaps of our place in the world as far as a research mission, but also someone, people who we think can lead in the academic front. Some people don't really know what a provost does, but a provost is really responsible for the academic mission, for the curriculum, for everything that happens in the classroom and outside of the classroom with students. Plays a huge role in retention issues, so making sure that students are successful in the classroom when they come to Arkansas State. But we really need someone who's also a visionary, someone who can come in here and think about what are we not doing now that we could be doing to advance our mission.
Yeah, and that is going to be extremely important. Also, in the strategic planning process, as you kind of help tell the story, kind of fill in some of those gaps, and it can make it better, you know, as you go on years forward.
Well, you know, one of the things that universities can get trapped into is trying to be all things to all people.
Right.
There's the old saying of, you know, jack of all trades and master of none. The next provost will have to work with the deans and department chairs and with the faculty to figure out where can we be masters, where can we be, where can we have academic programs of distinction. By the way, we already have some of those here on our campus. We've got some, and this is where storytelling comes in. And I don't mean making up stories; I mean telling the story about what we do here. We've got some outstanding academic disciplines here that people don't know much about. Now, our students do, because our students come here for those academic programs, and we recruit nationally for those programs, in fact, internationally as well. Mm-hmm. But we need to be able to tell those stories, figure out when there's a limited amount of money that's available for all of our programs, where can we invest our money wisely so that we can expand those areas of excellence or create new areas of excellence that don't exist now, but with a little bit of resourcing, we can make those things become signature academic enterprises. And that's where the provost will play a huge role there of leading in that process. And that comes from a certain amount of expertise, some charisma, building of trust and faith, and also you got to provide the provost with the resources to make those decisions. If you don't have the money, then your mission becomes a wishing. You're just wishing you had money and you wishing you had time to do it.
Right.
We need to identify resources to be able to make those changes that are in front of us.
When do we expect to have a new provost in?
The new provost will start July 1st.
All right. So you excited about this?
I'm super excited because it's a key position on our leadership team. And I'm glad you're going to have Lenita on, because Lenita has been, to me personally and professionally, a tremendous asset. She's been here for a long time. She got her undergraduate degree here, and she knows how the university works. She's done a remarkable job leading this institution. She was the interim chancellor for a little while we were between chancellors. She is someone that the university owes a huge debt of gratitude to. And I'm really proud to call her my friend and my colleague. The next provost will have big shoes to fill.
Dr. Cooksey has been an integral part of that, you know, kind of as that storytelling process has been going along in that. So I know that's going to be something that will be really interesting. But she really was a big help for you as you were transitioning into your job at Arkansas State, kind of helping you as you started as chancellor.
Yeah, so I had a lot of experience, but my experience was, well, first off, I was a dean.
I'd
never been a provost before. But my college was very large, but wasn't as diverse as it is being from the provost perspective or even the chancellor's perspective.
Yeah.
And so I grew to depend on her heavily about understanding the role of the university, the different actors here, and about history behind decisions that were made in the past. It's very easy to come into a place and go, well, why are we doing it this way? Why don't we do it the way I did it at my previous institution? I resisted doing that as much as possible, and it was very helpful to have her help me understand the context for why decisions were made. Now, she also was helpful when I poked a little bit at some things that I thought were not working well. She would say, yeah, maybe we can make a change here, and helped us work through some of those changes as well. And so she's been very helpful. And I need, every leader needs people who they work with to be willing to say no, or to challenge your assumptions, or challenge your intentions. And she's been very good about that as well. And I mean that in a very positive way, where if I started going down a road and she said, oh, wait a minute, there's a pitfall here, or something you don't understand the context, she's been really good at helping me understand where I can make changes and where I probably should wait a little while.
And that's Arkansas State University's Chancellor, Dr. Kelly Damphus. I'm Jonathan Reeves.